Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits if they are from God, because many false prophets have been sent into the world. Many false prophets in this world. It doesn't say just a few, or every now and then you will meet a false prophet, but he says many false prophets. And that already was like this right at the beginning of with the people of God. From the beginning on, there were many false prophets. And if you look at the relation in Israel at the times of King Ahab, there were 400 prophets and one. And 400 were false prophets, and one was a true prophet. That was the relation back then. Or if we look to Elijah, there we read it's 450 to 1. And then I read again, there were 400 also from Asherah. I don't know if they were the same, or if it was then 850 false prophets to 1. Those were the relations of the prophets back then. Or at the time when Jesus came, how many prophets in Judaism were right prophet, correct, and rejoiced for the Lord's coming and brought the people to him? I didn't find much more than John the Baptist. So it's a scary relation. Now the question is, how is it today with God's people? Is it different today? Are there 400 correct prophets who do not speak by themselves, and one who's a false prophet?
If there are prophets like Micah who were really outwardly looking like great prophets, maybe we would realize. But how come in all of the ages the people believe these false prophets? How come, and how come it should be different today? And one thing which is also in my heart, many times I think, okay, I can discern today because I would realize the difference. But what we don't think so much about is the enemy. He changes his strategy. If in the past, in the time of Elijah, it worked that the people was deceived by so many things, then it doesn't mean that today the enemy has the same strategy, but he adapts to the time that we live in. He wants to deceive us, and he knows man very well, and he has a lot of experience, and he knows what he has to do that people would believe the lie. And here in verse 2 it says, "But this you know, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." So at that time, there were false prophets who said Jesus Christ hasn't come in the flesh. And for the saints back then, it was different to discern. Okay, today, if someone tells us Christ didn't come in the flesh, then we can say, okay, no, that's wrong. We know that. But at that time, obviously, it was not clear. But today, many groups today and Christian teachers say Jesus Christ came in the flesh. So now can you say their speaking is of God because they say that? No. Because the enemy changes his strategy. Now he allows the false prophets to say the truth in this aspect, but then there is other kind of leaven. They recognize this truth, but other things what they say is not from God or even from a different spirit. So many times here it says it is not that people speak, but the spirits. Yeah, beloved, yeah. Verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So many times behind these people, there are spirits, evil spirits of darkness, who speak through men. Doesn't matter if they are believers or not, but it is to deceive the people of God. So today it is not sufficient that we think, okay, the people of Israel, they were not smart enough, they didn't recognize the lie. But we can recognize. Or we can say, okay, we have this verse, we just have to examine, do they say Christ came in the flesh or not? And then we realize if it's the truth or a lie. No, but today in our time, it says knowledge multiplies. And there's so much teaching which is maybe a right teaching, but to realize which is from God and which is not from God, this is not possible by a method or by a verse or by our mind, but we need the spirit of discernment. And this discernment is by the anointing, which we heard, which the Lord has given to us. It says, it teaches us all things, and it leads us into all reality. And it is inside of us that we can examine all things that we hear. And this anointing helps us to discern what we hear. And there are some points where we can practice the spirit of discernment. For example, we already saw it is not the teaching. If we hear a teaching, it's not how we can realize if this is from God or this person is walking with God. And another thing is, for example, in Revelation, there are spirits doing great signs, right? So it's not only because there are signs someone is being healed or something like that, that we can realize that this is the Spirit of God. So it could even be an unclean spirit, like in Revelation 16. It could be unclean spirits who do impressing things, but it is not it is not that these spirits are from God. So one thing how we can discern is by the fruit. And that's what the scripture says. And I want to read from 2 Peter 2. And there he talks about the false prophets, verse 18 and 19. For when okay, I think that's not the verse he mentioned. Now verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. So Peter shows here that on the one hand, they have a word that is really impressive, swelling words, but those are words of emptiness. It sounds good and you are impressed, but the result is not life. And And the reason is that these people, they live in the flesh. Verse 19 says, they promise liberty, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. And this, so a prophet, it is not about if a prophet can give a good message, but the foundation must be his life with the Lord. And the false prophets, they don't have this life of the Lord. They live in the flesh, in corruption. They are slaves of the same things that, like the people in this world. They love this world, the things of this world. And that's why they are slaves themselves. And the result is, even though their teaching is right, they say impressive things, but they will, those who, like it says here, they will bring back the people into the world who just escaped from the world. And we really have to take care of, we really have to be watchful when it comes to those things, because the enemy wants to make us slaves of this world again. Yeah. That we start to love the things in this world again, the things that we escaped from. And that is really, and that is really the strategy of the enemy. Because outwardly you might think everything is fine, but inwardly you already went back to love the world. And that's why I became more cautious to listen to messages of people which I don't know. Because before I came here, I was in different places, and I heard people who can really give a good message and who are really well known. And the Lord, He could use this word, but still, I got to know some of these people who gave this message, and I realized when they have fellowship with brothers and sisters, then there is not this, what they speak is not expressed in their life. Yeah. For example, when I talk to one of these people, then when I went into his office to speak to him, then I realized something's not right here. Now, his expression is totally different from his message. And this just didn't happen just one time. So we really have to be cautious. Let us not listen to so many things, but really look at this person, at his life. And Hebrews 13, verse 7, it says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So it's not sufficient to have the teaching. And also, my experience is that many brothers from whom I learned a lot, but it was not only by their speaking, but it was more because of their conduct. They, on the one hand, they shared a lot and God spoke to me, but many changes in my life came through because I followed their faith. Yeah, I followed the faith which I saw in them. And what really impressed me here in this church is the conduct of the brothers and sisters in their everyday life. I didn't know that in many other places where I went to. So to follow this faith, to see how does this brother deal with his wife and with his children, how does he speak about things and of the world, how is his language if not everyone listens to his speaking? All these things, we need to know them, because otherwise we cannot discern if someone is speaking from God or from himself. And I want to read another verse in Philippians. So because now the question is, okay, if I know this person, then I can just trust this person, right? And just listen to this person. But there is a verse in Philippians 1, verse 9 to 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And this is really strong. The brotherly love should more and more abound, and also to trust the brothers and sisters, but it doesn't mean that you don't use your mind and this spirit of discernment anymore. Because here it says, love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. So although the Lord is doing a great work here in the church, and we love each other more and more and get to know each other, still the enemy tries to enter out from time to time. And that's just what happens from time to time. Yeah, one example, when you look at Peter, when the Lord really loved him a lot, without doubt. And for sure, Peter said many good things, but in one situation, when the Lord told him, I need to die to go to Jerusalem, to go onto the cross, then Peter wanted to stop him. And then Jesus didn't say to him, yeah, I love you so much and I just received what you say to me. But the Lord was really very clear and discerning and said, get behind me, Satan. And although the Lord loved Peter so much, still he realized in that moment who is speaking here, that it is the enemy who entered into Peter and spoke through Peter. But so this situation doesn't lead to that Jesus didn't love Peter anymore. That was not the case. Because then we could all just go home now. So the Lord rebuked Satan, but still received Peter. That's what we see later. And he prayed for him. So may we really practice to have this brotherly love and the love, but still have this spirit of discernment and to listen to the anointing. Yeah, to really examine if what a brother told me, is it really out of the anointing? So let us go back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2 from verse 19 till the end. Because when we prepared for this fellowship, the Lord really showed us, warned us that the enemy wants to use the false prophets to make us fall, and we should really realize that. So therefore, let us read 2 Peter 2 from verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. So don't think that cannot happen to you. At the beginning of this year, I had a situation which I didn't expect. Until today, I don't know why and how it happened. But somehow the enemy could bring me back to some old things for a short time. And it was really terrible. So inwardly, all this corruption from the past came up, especially this feeling and the knowledge of the corruption. And I was sitting there and I asked myself, how could that happen? So many things which I left behind just came back and dragged me down. And I was like, how could that happen? Because I thought like, okay, we continue to go upward and these things are just behind. And I was really shocked. And I cried out to the Lord, Lord, how could that happen? Save me. And I thank the Lord. After a short time, He brought me out of that. In the past, many times, when I had to fight with many things, it was a long battle. But it was a strong warning to me that I should not be lazy and not be distracted and don't give room to the enemy. Because these verses here are really true. It is a real warning. We should not think it cannot happen to us. The enemy wants to distract us until the end. He tries that. And many last shall be first. There's this verse. So they're not just... Yeah, and it says there are many first who will be last. So many, not just some of them. And then you cannot say, okay, I served for such a long time, and okay, in the end, it just didn't go so well anymore, but the Lord will look at my beginning. No, this is not how it is. And there is a chapter that shows that in Ezekiel, chapter 18, the Lord talks about what it means to do righteousness and to do according to His commandments. Verse 1 to 20, yeah, you can read it yourselves, but I want to read from verse 21 in chapter 18 of Ezekiel. But if a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. And this is, yeah, these are those last who became first, who really turned to the Lord. None of these transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that a wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. Because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed, because of them he shall die. So this is really a strong word. When I heard that in the beginning, then I thought what is mentioned in the coming verse in verse 25. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not fair. And I also thought, okay, if someone was so consecrated for such a long time, how can it be that it says here, it will not be remembered? Hear now, O house of Israel, is it not my way which is fair, and your ways which are not fair? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive in. Because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. And then it is again about Israel. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel. Verse 29. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair and you your ways which are not fair? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, says the Lord of God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. So many times when I heard these words, I thought if I fall one time, then it's over. It's like it was for me in the beginning of this year. I was like, okay, is it all over now? But no, the Lord says, repent and turn from all your transgressions. So something has already happened here, but it is able to turn. The Lord says, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. So even though something happened here, the Lord says, I want to keep you in my ways. I want to give you life. I don't want you to die. And verse 31, cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? And if your soul tells you, give up, then you should not listen to it. Sometimes that's what a soul tells you. Yeah, it is easier just to give up. So many things went wrong, and just let it be. But the Lord says, why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. Amen. So the Lord wants to give us life, and He wants to keep this life in us until the end. So in these last days, the enemy, all he can do is he tries to distract us from the way of the Lord. And that, therefore, we need to take seriously this warning of the Lord. Don't give in to the fallen soul life. But yeah, this verse in Revelation 12 verse 11, it says, they didn't love their soul life. Well, what does it say? In the beginning? No, it says, until the end, unto death. So if we die or if we will be resurrected, it doesn't matter. But until the end, we should not love our soul life. And that's what also John says in 2 John. 2 John 1 verse 8. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Amen. Yeah, the Lord works something really glorious with us, and He doesn't want anyone to lose His reward. And I have one more example to warn you how the enemy is working. And this is really talking about our time. Some of you heard there is like a movement of truth in Germany right now, or a movement of peace. And it is called Truth and Life in English. And I don't know if you heard that already, but this movement is growing bigger and bigger. But there are many unbelievers who realize something's not right in this world, and for a long time many people didn't realize, but now through the COVID crisis and the war in Ukraine, many people realize something's not right here. But the problem is this awakening, so to speak, is they really want to find out what is happening there in the background. Yeah, what do the globalists plan, and what is coming next? And they start to create a network and share information. And every day there is news what happened in this world when it comes to drugs and wars and so many things going on in the background. And maybe many things of these things that are posted there in these channels are right. But the amazing thing is what I realized is in the beginning, yeah, one channel that I observed is in the beginning it was really neutral and just a sharing of information, but then it started to become like a movement, and their message is we can change this age by recognizing the truth and receiving some kind of light. And so many people are just following this movement. Yeah, there's many Telegram groups where thousands of people come together and they think from themselves they can change this age. And the Lord also shows us what the enemy is doing, and maybe some things are similar to what these people see. And then what you think is, okay, these people, they are now open for the truth, for the Lord. And we're like, okay, yeah, finally there are people who are open for the Lord, and we can speak about how evil this world is. But then when you talk about the Lord to them, then suddenly strange things come up. And then they say, okay, Jesus, he was a good guy, but I'm more focused on the angels, or I found something else. Jesus is okay, but there are just other things and that supernatural energy or whatever. And then you realize that this openness is not for the truth and for the Lord, but it is about something else. And this is my feeling is it's some kind of evil spiritual thing. And it really is not the way of the Lord. And it is easy to realize that because the real truth is in the Lord. So if really someone really receives the Lord, then you are on the right path. And we can read in 1 John verse 4. In verse 5, they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. And so these news and this truth, how it is called there in these channels, many people are able to hear that and are one with that. But now it goes on here in 1 John and says, but we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So if we experience such things, yeah, we can speak to others about politics and other things going on in this world. But then we speak to them about the Lord, and suddenly they don't want to speak about that with you. Then we know their speaking is from the world. And they don't hear us because they are not of God. And that's how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So maybe not be captive like these people in this interesting news. And I have to admit, these news are interesting. But the Lord really showed me, don't spend too much time in these news. And what I realized, the Lord still gives us this light, the light that we need. Even though we don't look for these news in this world, But still, the Lord has a way to give us light to realize what's going on in our society, what the enemy is doing. So it is dangerous if we are being filled with these things, because maybe eventually the Lord didn't want us to know all these things. And eventually we are not at the tree of life anymore, but at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, so this... So what people share there is maybe not a bad thing, yeah? The darkness is being exposed. But this is really the good of the tree of knowledge. So if we eat of that, then it will not give us life. Even though maybe we understand more, we see more what's happening in this world, it will not give us life. And that's what I experienced many times. I was just longing for more of these news. I kept reading, and yeah, I received some kind of knowledge, and darkness was being exposed, but the result in my life was death. And therefore, we need to make this decision. Let us go to the tree of life. Yeah, if the Lord wants to give us some kind of knowledge, yes, then we say amen. But we should come forward to the tree of life. And for this discernment, the Lord gave us the anointing. And therefore, let us end with verse 4 in 1 John chapter 4. Let us read it together. First John 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, he who is in you is greater. We praise you, Lord.